is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
It's a pleasure to welcome Sophie Petter, the Paris bureau chief for The Economist magazine, and Sophie Petter, the author. Sophie published some years past in the first term, maybe the only term, of Emmanuel Macron, Revolution Française. This is the story of the subtitle, The Quest for to Reinvent a Nation, France. Sophie, wonderful. Congratulations. And we're looking to a re-election or a defeat in the spring of 22. Recently, there were regional elections. You and I spoke about what they pointed to. Macron, President Macron, is very much in the mix. I understand things have happened since his election, but to discover the man, I want to go to moments in your telling. You published this book in 2018, so these events are fresh to his presidency. The first is the night of the election, May 2017. You illustrate who Macron is by saying that he prepared for this moment and he was at the Louvre, coming down the steps to address the nation. Significantly, he came down the steps outside. Now we're looking at the new Louvre and the old Louvre, old France and new France, without looking down to see it where his feet fell, which I've tried. It's impossible to do. And you emphasize throughout the book that there's much of the actor, the performer in Macron. What does that moment tell us now? And what did it tell the French people at the time? Good evening, Sophie.
Good evening, John, and thank you for inviting me on your show. It's really a pleasure to be with you. I think looking back, you know, that evening, nobody knew what to expect. You know, he'd just been elected. This was his sort of moment to greet his supporters. And there was a sort of hushed silence, and it was dark at night. I was there, and you just suddenly got the sense that that something was happening. He was walking across the Louvre, the royal palace, former royal palace, across this courtyard. But before he walked across it, he came down the steps. And I went back to look at these steps in the daylight, you know, a few weeks or months even later, to see what it's like to try and walk down them without looking. And I can tell you, it's almost impossible. And it just seemed to me that that captured something of how he had thought very hard about this moment. He prepared for it. He was trying, I think, to put on the costume of president. I mean, don't forget that this guy was 39 years old. He'd never been elected to anything before. I think he was very conscious that he might not look the part of a president in the way the French think their presidents ought to look. You know, he didn't look like a grandfather or even a father of the nation. And I think, looking back, that really was the moment that he was trying to prove to the French, and possibly even to himself, that he knew how to act as a president and that he was going to act as one. And I think act is that key word, because time and time again, ever since, we've seen him trying on different costumes, trying to look the part. And I think that's very much marked his presidency. And sometimes he's got it right and sometimes he's got it wrong. But in those very first steps he took across that court, down into the courtyard and across the courtyard to the stage, I think you saw a young man trying his best to look and to act like a president. And I think that tells you a lot about Macron the actor.
The proverb
and Macron
is
the president.
The proverb is you only get one chance to make a first impression. So the first impression on the French were at the Louvre with the man who is ready for his role but does not yet look the part. We go to another moment in Sophie's book, September 2017. In other words, just a few months later, Athens. The setting this time behind the president of France is the Parthenon itself. And Sophie presents the fact that that night, the president, addressing his citizens and the world, mentioned history, certainly, mentioned Pericles, for heaven's sakes, and Hegel, the German philosopher and the leader of Athens during the crisis of the plague that eventually killed Pericles. That moment in time in Athens informed the baby boy Plato, and much of Platonism reflects upon that a moment. Now, okay, that's good for an historian, it's good for a philosopher, but for a president, Sophie, is this what the French want from a young man, to be an intellectual on television?
Well, I mean, again, this was vintage Macron. This is the French discovering who is their president. I think you need to go back and look at his own history as a student. He, don't forget, has a master's degree in philosophy. This is not a sort of ordinary background for a politician in France. I mean, France is an intellectual country. You know, there are always debates on the television here about, you know, there could be sort of philosophy or literature or history. And that's part of what makes the French who they are. But I think Macron took this, you know, really on board to a degree that some found exaggerated. But I think it really summed up who he is, how he thinks about his role, and what sort of president at that time, remember, this is right in the early months of his presidency, at that time thought that a presidency should all be about. It wasn't about, you know, fist-bumping crowds. It was about standing with the weight of history on your shoulders and invoking the philosophy of Europe, the civilization of both of other European countries other than France, hence going to Athens to make the speech. And that meant philosophy, and that meant Pericles, and that meant Hegel and Minerva's owl. And all of it was packed into the speech, which I think said a lot about the sort of President Macron thought the French needed, wanted, and that he was going to be.
A risk taker. The quote from the speech that you provide, because it was here, said the president, the risk of democracy was taken. You cite risk throughout his brief political career. He's only been at this as a political office since, well, not even a decade, depending on where you start the date. But does he see politics as risk? Do the French understand that he emphasizes risk taking? Is that part of his presentation?
I think it's absolutely central to understanding who he is, both as a person and who he is as a politician and a political leader. I think as a person, you can look at the risks he's taken all the way through his life. I mean, not least of which was marrying a woman who was his former drama teacher at school and who is considerably older than he is, and in a relationship that was frowned upon, deeply frowned upon in the conservative town that he grew up in. And then you look at the political risk he's taken. It was an extraordinary risk to decide to run for the presidency without any political party behind him. He launched his party barely a year before the presidential election, and everybody thought that this was an impossible gamble. No one can do that. No one had done that in France. So I think risk is absolutely central to understanding the sort of way in which Macron's government, we've seen that with the pandemic, him as president, the risks he'd taken there, calculated risks. These aren't risks that he takes on a whim, but that is very much part of his DNA, his makeup, and of the sort of person he I think instinctively is, and the political character he is.
One more moment to introduce Macron to the world. First impressions, December 2017, again, just a few months in office. A pop singer who is not much remembered in America, if my memory is correct, Johnny Hallyday, who is a saintly figure in France and to Macron. He makes a speech in Paris, I presume it was on television, that is over the top in praise of Macron, in praise of Johnny Hallyday, someone to be with you when you're feeling lonely. What does this tell us? I mean, it's completely out of time. This is a man who can talk about Bach and Mozart, and here he is rhapsodizing on Johnny Halliday's death.
Absolutely. I mean, again, it's the sort of the antidote to all that intellectualizing he was doing in Athens just months previously. Here he was trying to prove that he was in touch with the sort of the popular figure, a hero for a lot of France. I mean, sometimes the way to think of Johnny Hallyday, who actually is of Belgian origin, but the French adopted him, he's sort of the French Elvis Presley. I mean, that's only a little bit of an exaggeration. But just to give you a sense of how much this meant to people, and it was indeed live on TV, and you had Harley Davidson's coming down the Champs-Élysées in honor. These were his supporters, Johnny Halliday's supporters. So Macron had sort of set this whole thing up. He'd understood that this was part of the more popular sort of cultural identity of France. And, you know, in a way, I think that again was to surprise people. It was to try and build a two sides of what he thought French national cultural identity was all about. It was his philosophy and intellectual thinking, as well as high-end literature on the one side, but on the one hand, but it's also about being in touch with popular culture and people who the French really had taken to heart. And I think that's what he was trying to do with that extraordinary speech.
An athlete, a dexterous athlete, a man who can talk about Pericles in public and not smile, and a man who can celebrate Johnny Hallyday. That is Macron, but we need to go back to the beginning, where he came from and his influences in a provincial town of Paris, an industrial provincial town. Sophie Petter is the author. The book is Revolution Française, The Quest to Reinvent a Nation. This is Emmanuel Macron, the current president of France, whom we can presume will run for re-election within the year. And when we come back, December of 1977, Mom and Dad, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.